Hello again and welcome. This is Lyndon Davis with another in the Debt Domino series. This time, we'll be talking about bankruptcy. Bankruptcy, it's not a beautiful thing, it's not a desirable thing, but it is a thing, and several of you may have actually had gone through this process or contemplating going through this process. Well, we're going to try to make it a little bit more manageable and a little bit more understandable for you. You see, bankruptcy is a legal proceeding initiated when a person or business is unable to repay outstanding debts or obligations. It offers a fresh start for people who can no longer afford to pay their bills. The bankruptcy process begins with a petition filed by the debtor, that'll be you, which is most common, or on behalf of creditors, which is less common. All of the debtor's assets are measured and evaluated, and the assets may be used to repay a portion of the outstanding debt. Now, bankruptcy offers an individual or business a chance to start fresh by forgiving debts that they can't pay. Meanwhile, creditors have a chance to get some repayment based on the individual's or business's assets available for liquidation. In theory, the ability to file for bankruptcy benefits the overall economy by allowing people and companies a second chance to gain access to credit. It can also help creditors regain a portion of debt repayment. All bankruptcy cases in the United States go through the federal courts. So no, your governor ain't helping you this time. Nope, sorry. A bankruptcy judge makes decisions, including whether a debtor is eligible to file and whether they should be discharged of their debts. When bankruptcy proceedings are complete, the debtor is relieved of the debt obligations. Now, folks, you've heard these terms before, and we're going to go into a couple of them in some detail, but we'll mention all three. There are three types of bankruptcy filings: Chapter 7, Chapter 11, and Chapter 13. Now, these are all codes in the United States legal system. That's why they call them chapters. They're found in the various IRS tax codes. Chapter 11 is a form of bankruptcy that involves the reorganization of a debtor's business affairs, debts, and assets. You might be asking, well, Lyndon, you said 7, 11, and 13. Shouldn't you go in order? Well, there's a reason I'm starting with Chapter 11. Being that it deals with the debtor's business affairs, their debts, and their assets, also referred to as reorganization bankruptcy, Chapter 11 is specifically or primarily for businesses, although individuals and couples can use it also. So it's because of that nature, being that we are more dealing with personal financial matters, it's because of that why I'm starting with Chapter 11 to say, I won't cover Chapter 11 today. I will instead look more in detail at Chapter 7 and Chapter 13. So, what is Chapter 7? Regardless of what you've heard, seen, been told, texted, blogged, or been blogged about, bankruptcy is a serious business, so you need to understand it clearly. Chapter 7 of Title 11 in the U.S. Bankruptcy Codes controls the process of asset liquidation. What is asset liquidation? They're selling all your stuff, man. Everything that you have that's of value, they're looking to sell it to raise funds to pay your debts. So yeah, that Mickey Mantle baseball card that you've been holding on to for forever and you wanted to pass down to your kids and grandkids, well, if you enter into Chapter 7, it's on the table. It's getting sold. So yes, Chapter 7 is that process, is that part of the U.S. bankruptcy codes that controls the process of asset liquidation. A bankruptcy trustee is appointed to liquidate non-exempt assets to pay creditors. After the proceeds are exhausted, the remaining debt is discharged. There are eligibility requirements to file for Chapter 7, such as the debtor, again, that's you, must have had no Chapter 7 bankruptcy discharge in the preceding 8 years, and the applicant must pass a means test. This process is also known as straight or liquidation bankruptcy. In Chapter 7 bankruptcy, the absolute priority rule stipulates the order in which debts are to be paid. Under this rule, Unsecured debt is separated into classes or categories, with each class receiving priority for payment. Secured debt is debt backed or secured by collateral to reduce the risk associated with lending. Unsecured priority debts are paid first. Examples are debts that are due to taxes. Yeah, your unpaid taxes. Child support. Personal injury claims against the debtor. These are examples of unsecured priority debts. Secured debts are paid next. Secured debts are collateral used to reduce the risk to the lender, and examples of those are, you got it, a home in the case of a mortgage, or a vehicle in the case of an auto loan. As the house secures the mortgage and the vehicle secures the auto loan, the mortgage and auto loan would be considered secured debt. Last is the payment of non-priority, unsecured debt with funds remaining from the liquidation of assets. If there are not sufficient funds to pay the non-priority, unsecured debt, then the debts are paid on a pro rata basis. Pro rata means that everybody gets a slice. If there are 10 people who are left as the unsecured, non-priority creditors, and there's only $10 left, everybody gets a slice of that $10, whether somebody gets a dollar or 50 cents or 30 cents or whatever it might be, that will be determined by the courts. So now you've gotten a little taste of what the bankruptcy process is and what the various chapters are. Actually, we just looked at chapter 7 there. Now let's look at the bankruptcy process. The bankruptcy process consists of the following four, count them, four steps. First is counseling and forms. Filers must undergo credit counseling within 6 months of filing before they begin the Chapter 7 bankruptcy process. If there is no approved counseling agency in the district, they may forego this step. Other exceptions may apply depending on the debtor's circumstances. The applicant must complete several forms, including a petition to the court, to begin the official Chapter 7 proceedings. The forms detail personal information such as your finances, your creditors, your assets, your income, and expenses. And after filing the petition, an automatic stay is in effect that prevents creditors from collecting on their debt. The stay also halts and prevents income garnishments. So those two are very tempting reasons why people would opt to go down the bankruptcy route. The second step is the trustee appointment and meeting of creditors. The bankruptcy court will appoint an unbiased trustee to oversee the entire bankruptcy process. Sorry, folks, you don't get to have your best friend as your unbiased trustee to oversee the process. And equally true, you don't get to have your hated enemy as the unbiased trustee to oversee the bankruptcy process. The courts will decide. They will review assets and determine which assets can be liquidated to pay creditors. The trustee then schedules meetings with the creditors where the validity of the petition and finances is confirmed. As the name suggests, the meeting of creditors allows them to meet with the trustee and the debtor to ask questions. Talk about an uncomfortable interview. Debt repayment. Third step. The bankruptcy trustee reviews the personal assets and finances of the debtor, exempt property, or property necessary to maintain basic living standards is retained by the debtor. Non-exempt property is seized and liquidated to pay creditors. Yeah, your car, and remember that baseball card we talked about? Yep, that's part of that non-exempt property. Property exemptions vary in each state. However, in many cases, debtors are allowed to keep their primary home, personal possessions, and car. The trustee then oversees the liquidation of all other property. The Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security, or CARES Act, signed into law by the President on March 27, 2020, excludes coronavirus-related relief aid from the calculation of debtors' current monthly income for a period of 1 year for pending bankruptcy cases. So you get a little relief, a little buy there, a little, you know, semi-get-out-of-jail-free card there. The fourth step is discharge of the remaining debt. Now, most debts are discharged under a Chapter 7 bankruptcy. The discharge of debts will release the debtor from any personal liability for payment. Once a deficit is discharged under Chapter 7, the creditor may no longer seek future restitution from the creditor. That's the get out of jail free, but it's really not free, card. Once you get through it, you are done with your creditors. But obligations relating to alimony, child support, some government debts, income taxes, and federal student loans are not allowable for release during bankruptcy. The law is very restrictive on discharging money owed for income taxes and student loans. The United States Bankruptcy Code lists 19 categories of debts that are not dischargeable. We're not going to go into those here. But in most instances, filers receive a discharge approximately 2 months after the meeting of creditors. Now, we're going to look at some serious ramifications, but first, I want you to chew on this nugget. The greater danger for most of us lies not in our setting our aim too high and falling short, but in setting our aim too low and achieving our mark. That was reportedly said by Michelangelo. What are you aiming for? If it is to be rich, then all you have to look forward to is right here in front of you. But I offer you Jesus' counsel to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, back to serious ramifications of the bankruptcy process. There are definitely negative consequences to bankruptcy, which is why debtors should be sure it is right for them. Creditors may attempt to recover debt after its discharge, even though they have no right to. So it's important to retain your bankruptcy documents, as duplicates can be very costly to obtain. The instance of bankruptcy will appear on your credit report for up to 10 years from the filing date, seriously damaging your ability to get loans. But mind you, what we talked about with debts in one of our series, it is not a desirable thing for you to get a loan. But if you were so desirous to go down that unrecommended path, bankruptcy, seriously, and I do mean seriously, is damaging to your ability to get that loan. Also, a person cannot file and receive a subsequent Chapter 7 discharge within 8 years of a previous Chapter 7 discharge. Their way of trying to avoid that double dipping thing that many people seem to want to get into. It's important to be especially prudent financially after going through Chapter 7. Now, mind you, as an advisor, I would recommend that you don't go through any kind of bankruptcy at all by first and foremost not being in debt. But if indeed you find yourself where debt is crushing and it's pressing in from all around you, take your time, carefully consider before you go down the bankruptcy filing path. Now let's look at Chapter 13. What is Chapter 13? Chapter 13 refers to a U.S. bankruptcy proceeding in which debtors undertake a reorganization of their finances under the supervision and approval of the courts. Individuals and married couples, even if self-employed or operating an unincorporated business, are eligible to file for Chapter 13 bankruptcy. As part of Chapter 13 reorganization, which is also known as a wage earner's plan, debtors must submit and follow through with a plan to repay outstanding creditors within 3 to 5 years. In most circumstances, the repayment plan must provide a substantial payback to creditors. No, you don't get to say, I'll pay you a penny today and pay you 2 pennies next Tuesday. You gotta give up some real cheddar, people. You gotta give up the bread. You gotta make some serious payments. You have to make substantial payback to creditors at least equal to what they would have received under other forms of bankruptcy. And it must, if needed, use 100% of the debtor's disposable income for repayment. Wow. Talk about a 100% debt-to-income ratio. Woo-woo! Understanding Chapter 13. With a Chapter 13 bankruptcy, debtors must compile a list of all creditors along with the amount of money owed to each, a list of any property owned, information about income amounts and sources, and detailed information about monthly expenses. A debtor then pays an agreed-upon monthly amount to an appointed, impartial bankruptcy trustee, effectively consolidating debts into one monthly amount. The trustee, in turn, distributes the money to the debtor's creditors. Debtors have no direct contact with creditors under Chapter 13 protection. People are eligible to use Chapter 13 only if their debts are below a certain limit. So you quadrillionaires and gazillionaires and googolillionaires, whatever your illionaires that you are, nope, this does not necessarily work for you. The numbers are 419,275 for unsecured debt and 1,257,850 for secured debt as of February 2019. And the increases on those limits that I just called out, they come in 3-year intervals. Now, filers must also have completed credit counseling and be considered eligible for Chapter 13. So essentially, folks, just because you want it doesn't mean you're gonna get it. You got to be considered for it and then made eligible for it. So now let's look at Chapter 13 versus Chapter 7. Chapter 7, as mentioned previously, is the most common form of bankruptcy, as it allows individuals to erase their existing debt and start afresh. Unfortunately, Chapter 7 filers are often required to surrender their home. Once a Chapter 13 bankruptcy is initiated, any home foreclosure proceedings are ceased. A debtor may be motivated to choose Chapter 13 over Chapter 7 in order to save their home. If you're wondering what's the real difference, you could think of Chapter 13 as pressing the pause button on your creditors, whereas Chapter 7 is like pressing the reset button on their unfavorable finances. So, if you want to just say, hey, give me a moment, let me catch my breath, you do a Chapter 13. If it's there's no way I'm getting out from under this mess, you go with Chapter 7. But as I've said before, I will say once more, think long, hard, and carefully before you undergo any bankruptcy proceedings. But really take your advisor's advice. Avoid debt in the first place, because you can never, ever, ever, ever go bankrupt if you don't owe anybody. Chapter 13 versus Chapter 11. You know, earlier I said we're not going to spend too much time, and we're still not, but just want to draw a distinction, a difference here. Chapter 11 bankruptcy is another plan in which debt is restructured and paid back over time. Chapter 13 gives filers who make too much money to be considered for Chapter 7 an easy alternative to Chapter 11. Filing for Chapter 13 bankruptcy may also protect co-signers, there it is, co-signers of the debtor's loans from being held responsible for them. How about Chapter 13 and the CARES Act? The Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security, or CARES Act, signed into law on March 27, 2020, made a number of changes to bankruptcy laws designed to make the process more available to businesses and individuals economically disadvantaged by the COVID-19 lockdowns. For Chapter 13, these include excluding federal emergency relief payments due to COVID-19 lockdowns from your current monthly income and your disposable income, and allowing repayment plans to be extended to 7 years. The changes apply to bankruptcies filed after the CARES Act was enacted and sunset 1 year later. So an example of a Chapter 13 bankruptcy. After Erica lost her job and her husband, Joey, suffered a mental crisis that left him unable to work, they fell behind on their mortgage and were $25,000 in arrears. The bank had initiated foreclosure proceedings just as Erica received a job offer and Joey launched a small business. By filing for Chapter 13 bankruptcy, they were able to stop the foreclosure and keep their home. With their now steady income, they are able to pay their mortgage each month while also spreading the $25,000 that they owe over a five-year period. Now, how about being discharged from bankruptcy? I mean, that's the reason why you went into it in the first place, right? So that you can get rid of those debts. Well, when a debtor receives a discharge order, they are no longer legally required to pay the debt specified in the order. What's more, any creditor listed on the discharge order cannot legally undertake any type of collection activity, such as making phone calls or sending letters, against the debtor once the discharge order is in force. However, any secured creditor can still enforce a lien against the property owned by the debtor, providing that the lien is still valid. Debtors do not necessarily have the right to a discharge. Aha! Think about that. Just because you're in bankruptcy doesn't mean that you get everything you want. When a petition for bankruptcy has been filed in court, creditors receive a notice and can object if they choose to do so. If they do, they will need to file a complaint in the court before the deadline. This leads to the filing of an adversary proceeding to recover money owed or enforce a lien. As a note, student loan debt is notoriously difficult to discharge. Although a recently introduced bill called the Student Borrower Bankruptcy Relief Act of 2022 could change all of that if it is passed. Now, let's look at, drum roll, the consequences of bankruptcy filings, or as I like to call it, the Maleficent Seven, not Magnificent Seven, the Maleficent, that is bad, the bad seven. Consequence number one, not all debts qualify to be discharged. So on top of going through the process, you still may have to pay out to certain creditors. Some of these includes tax claims, anything that was not listed by the debtor, child support or alimony payments, personal injury debts, and debts to the government. Number two, it leaves a scar on your credit score. Now again, credit score is not the end-all be-all, but for those of you that are not taking your advisor's advice and staying away from debt, if you decide to go back into it, bankruptcy leaves a scar on your credit score. Number three, secured debts will have the collateral seized. That simply means if you put up something in order to get the debt, they're going to take that something. Call it a car, a home, a truck, whatever. It's gone. Number four, you may be subject to higher interest rates and less favorable terms in the future. That goes without saying. Your bankruptcy tells people that you had problems keeping your word and paying back your debts. You think somebody's going to give you the best rates and the best loans now that they know that you have a history of not paying back your debts? Nah, not going to happen. Number five, negative information can appear on your record for up to 10 years. Yeah, for some of you who are not even 30 yet, that's one-third your life that you'll have to sit around because of not taking your advisor's advice and not getting into debt and then going into bankruptcy. Number six, loss of tax refund. While you can receive tax refunds while in bankruptcy, your refund may be used to pay down federal tax debt. Then once Chapter 7 is done, your tax return may still be turned over to the bankruptcy trustee to cover debts. That $5,000 tax refund that you were expecting? Not anymore. Uncle Sam says, pay me first. Number seven, the Maleficent Seven. It has a negative impact on employment and relationships. Bankruptcy is a matter of public record, folks. Yeah, there's no privacy here. Once you file for bankruptcy, everybody can know. So future employers or clients, family, and neighbors can access this information. Additionally, anyone who shares responsibility for your debt will be impacted when you file. If you have a co-signer on any of your debts, creditors may still be able to pursue them for the balance. Wow! You get away scot-free by discharging, but the co-signer still gets the knife stuck in their back and twisted? Wow! So yes, even if you have a co-signer on any of your debts, creditors may still be able to pursue them for the balance, even if the debt is discharged in your bankruptcy. If you co-own a business, your partner may be required to buy you out to maintain the company. Well, folks, we've come to the end of our presentation on bankruptcy. I hope that you can see that bankruptcy is not for me, and it really should not be for thee either. This is Lyndon Davis with another installment of the Debt Domino series on bankruptcy.